Against the Grain Radio Show with your host, Nona Sam, live now.
Hello, hello, everybody. Hope you're having a great day today. We're doing a show today. I know vaccine month is over, but there was a lot of stuff that have happened in the last 24 hours. Okay, so before we begin, I'm going to apologize that I'm from Canada, and I don't understand how a lot of these things work down in the States there. So I know I have a lot of people who listen from down in the States, so if you laugh at me and point out that it's misinformation or something, please correct me. Definitely correct me. Like, I don't want to give out any wrong misinformation or anything like that. I'm learning. I've spent some hardcore Googling even in the last few hours just how bills and stuff are passed in the States, because our systems are quite different. I'm also going to let you know that this show is being brought to you by Mary Jane's Alternative Medicines. Their Voodoo Juice is their top hit. You can check them out on Facebook. Incredible woman. We've had her on the show before, and she's extremely knowledgeable. Everything is made with care and precision. Good stuff. All right, so I know a lot of you, there's been a lot of crazy stuff happening down in the States with this whole vaccine mandates thing. It feels like once a week there is some new bill being tabled somewhere down in the States where they're trying to remove exemptions. Because a lot of states have, like, religious exemptions. I don't have that table pulled up. You can always check it out. I mean, that information is widely available at this moment. However, it's being censored quite drastically. Last night, Washington State passed the third reading, or they okayed for the third reading for removal of philosophical and personal exemptions. So now they just currently are having religious and medical. Yesterday morning, what the hell? Pull up my tabs here. I've got a million tabs up right now. The U.S. Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions did a thing. And wow, was that a mess. That was a complete and utter mess. I watched about a solid half of it. Right before the hearing, the people on the floor gave their statements. There was one from John Wiseman, Dr. PhD, MPH. He's Secretary of Health, Washington State Department of Health, Olympia. That's where he's from. Yes, MPH, PhD. He's a professor of global health, professor of epidemiology and pediatrics. They had Jonathan A. McCullers, M.D., professor and chair, Department of Pediatrics, University of Tennessee Health Science Center, pediatrician-in-chief at Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. And then this is where shit got interesting, because they had these three doctors, like, you know, M.D.s, Ph.D., a doctor, Ph., M.P.H., and then they decided to invite this fucking guy, John G. Boyle, President and CEO of Immune Deficiency Foundation. And then the last one is the most, this one is what got me the most, because this is the one that newspapers focused on. They focused on this John Wiseman, a little bit from this Jonathan McCullers, a little bit from the John G. Boyle. They barely even mentioned this Saad Omar guy. But the Ethan Lindenberger, he's a student from Norwalk High School. They invited a fucking high school student who somehow was able to become credible by Googling the CDC, the FDA, and talking to his doctor. and started a debate club in his school. And somehow this boy, 18-year-old guy, I mean, I'd people call him a kid, but I'd say that's a budding adult. They invited him to speak on behalf of America because his mom was allegedly an anti-vaxxer. So that was fun. They have up on their website that www.help.senate.gov, or however that is, the chairman, Alexander, the scientists sound, vaccines save lives. This was just a complete fucking gong show. I took some notes of things that were said. Give me a second here. I totally forgot to pop open Freedomizer Radio. Here we go. Sorry, guys. I almost had my stuff together today. Oh, turn off the volume. Join chat. There we go. Now I have my stuff together. So, like, it was a live video. You can go over and watch it on the live video. There we go. I'm here now. Like I said, I need to go over and I need to watch the rest of it. I intend on making a blog post, but it was quite interesting. The first guy, this Dr. Wiseman, he started talking about things like, you know, he started talking about how measles vaccine or measles is bad and measles vaccines save lives, the typical narrative that you hear anywhere. On the news, on TV, from your doctors, yada, yada. And then he asked for like a 22% increase by 20, or 22% budget increase by 2022. And alleged that it would save costs, like healthcare costs and et cetera, et cetera. Like, okay, well, whatever, dude. But then he started saying things like, you know, people are scared of autism and vaccines cause autism. When he goes off saying, oh, vaccines don't cause autism, and it's like, really? Because, I mean, as far as my research goes, the only vaccine that's been studied to cause autism is MMR, so how can you throw all the vaccines under the same bus when there's only been one studied for autism, and it's been thoroughly studied? And he brought up the whole Wakefield thing, which was crap. But whatever, if anybody's listening, and if you actually want to go look up Dr. Wakefield's study, it wasn't even really a study, it was more just an observational thing. And in his alleged study, he even said that stuff needed to be studied more. This link between gut health and children's behavior, which could present itself as autism, studied more in depth. He never claimed to cause autism, never even once. It was just a damaged gut was causing kids to, like, you know, act out of order. Fix the gut, fix the kid's behavior. That's not autism. That's just damaged guts. But anyway, and then he continues to go on, and he starts talking about things like side effects of vaccines. And he cites three side effects, one being fevers, which are common. And if you pop over to the CDC page, on their MMR side effects page on there, that's www.cdc.gov/vaccine-safety/vaccine-mmr-vaccine.html#side-effects. I'm on there right now. This says right on their page, common side effects from MMR vaccine, sore arm from the shot, fever, mild rash, temporary pain and stiffness of the joints, mostly in teenage or adult women who did not already have immunity to rubella component of the vaccine. And it doesn't even bother to go over any of the severe side effects. There's one here, which this guy was talking about. He said fever, a seizure from the fever, febrile seizure, and then allergies. I was actually kind of shocked that he cited that allergies could come from the MMR vaccine. because everybody is completely clueless where our rising allergy rates are coming from. But it says MMR vaccine has been linked with a very small risk of febrile seizures, or jerking caused by fever. Febrile seizures following MMR are rare and are not associated with any long-term effects. Because the risk of febrile seizures increases as the infant gets older, it is recommended that they get vaccinated as soon as recommended. Some people may experience swelling in the cheeks or neck. Rarely causes temporary low platelet count, which can cause a bleeding disorder that usually goes away without treatment and is not life-threatening. Extremely rare, a person may have serious allergic reaction to MMR. Anyone who has ever had a life-threatening allergic reaction to the antibiotic neomycin or any other component of MMR vaccine should not get this vaccine. And then it lets you go to the MMR vaccine insert, and it's crazy. Like, you even look, it's like the first thing that it talks about is, like, MMR is a sterile, lyophilized preparation of Attenuvax, measles virus vaccine live, a more attenuated line of measles virus derived from Ender's attenuated Edmondson strain and propagated in chick embryo cell culture. So it's grown in, like, chick culture. And then there's another one, it's grown in also chick culture, and the third one, like the mumps vax grown chick culture and the Meruvax 2. Live attenuated rubella propagated with WI38 human diploid lung fibroblasts. And of course, anybody who's done any sort of Googling in any capacity, that comes from things like aborted fetuses. Actually, fun fact for you, when Trump was threatening to cut off funding to Planned Parenthood, because everybody and their dog loves Planned Parenthood, and I'm not going to lie, they have done a good things for a lot of women, but I mean, the lady who started it was doing it just to take out black people. So that's a fun history fact for you. That's extremely and incredibly just disgusting that that was her intent when she started it. But anyway, again, you can hit up Google and find it. It's there. It's readily there and available. I don't even remember where I was going. Oh, yeah, when he cut that off, because you have all these scientists say that they just replicate the same cells over and over and over, and they use those, which is a lie, because cells can only be replicated for so long before they just stop. Like, our cells are designed to stop, unless they're cancerous, and which actually, they're actually starting to use. They have been using cancer cells to grow things like flu vaccine, because instead of just one vaccine in a season, they can grow 2 to 3. So if the first one doesn't work, they still have time to grow another one. So I don't know if that's happened for any other vaccines out there, but I know they've been using it. I believe it's in the UK, and they admitted using it in the US. I don't have that source right in front of my fingertips, but I can find it for you guys. Here we go. I'll find that in a bit. Anyway, so that's a fun fact. They're using cancer cells to grow your flu vaccines and stuff now. So, I mean, good thing we're doing that. But anyway, you pop over to this MMR live vaccine, and, like, it says that it uses things like fetal bovine serum. Like, that's gross. That's fucking gross. Excuse my language, but that is gross. You're growing viruses in, like, an aborted dead calf. Ugh, gross. But then you can go through this information yourself. It's right on the CDC website for MMR, et cetera, et cetera. You pop down to things like the contraindications, hypersensitivity to any component in this vaccine, including gelatin, because, they use dead baby cows. Do not give MMR2 to pregnant females. As possible, the possible side effects of the vaccine on fetal development are unknown at this time. If you vaccinate a female, it is not recommended that they get pregnant in 3 months following vaccination. Like, that's how hardcore this shit is. There's more there. You can definitely check it out. You pop down to things like, this is my favorite one, the adverse reactions. So there is a whole list of things, and these are just the ones that came about from the testing itself. Like, they collect more and more information. You can submit it to VAERS, and then in Canada here, we have our own reporting system. But from what I was reading, 90% of the reporting comes from doctors, and what from Vaccine Choice Canada had sent me, they're actually reporting less and less vaccine injuries over the years. But our schedule is closely mimicking the U.S.'s schedule, and the vaccines are practically the same. If they're not the exact same, they're pretty damn close. So, adverse reactions, things like diabetes from under the endocrine system, right there, diabetes mellitus, immune system, anaphylaxis, and anaphylactoid reactions have been reported, as well as phenoma, such as an angenerotic edema. I don't even know if I pronounced that right. Angioneurotic, there we go, edema, including peripheral and facial edema, bronchial spasms in individuals without an allergic history. So you don't even have to have an allergic history. It just fucking happens. Like, it just happens. And you don't know these things until you get the vaccine. musculoskeletal system, arthritis. You can get arthritis from your vaccine. How many old people do we know have arthritis now? How many children do we know have things like arthritis? Like, encephalitis, encephalopathy, measles, inclusion, body, encephalitis. Oh, boy. Febrile convulsions, afebrile convulsions or seizures. Where there was another one I was looking for. Hold on here. Body as a whole. Atypical measles, fever, headache, dizziness, malaise, irritability, atypical measles. You can catch measles from your vaccine. People don't seem to understand this, and they just don't, it says right here, it's a live vaccine. And when you watch this video that these people were doing, I'll get to that in a little bit here, when it comes time for, John B. Boyle to speak, because he's got an immunodeficiency order that he lists. I didn't write it down, but he's got a disorder where his body does not create antibodies, and he was diagnosed with this at 6 months old. So I don't know about you, that sounds a little coincidental to me, but I don't know this guy's vaccine history, so I don't know. He depends on people having community immunity that they call that now. They no longer call it herd immunity. They call it community immunity now, because that sounds a lot better than being a bunch of mindless sheep just going along with the flow. But this vaccine cannot be given, and then you have this individual walking around immunocompromised individuals for at least, like, what, I think it says like 28 days. I have to go and look, but it's there. So far as I remember, the flu vaccine also has that information as well. I can't even find it right now. References, how it's stored. There we go. I'm not seeing it anywhere right now, but I'm not looking very hard either. Anyway, if you see in places like cancer clinics, people have taken pictures of their signs and thrown them up on the internet, that if you've been vaccinated with certain vaccines, such as the MMR in the last month, you are not allowed to be there because it sheds through things like feces. And like, let's admit it here, like how many little people wash their hands really well when they play with their butt? Not that well. So you can always check that out. I mean, there's so many freaking reactions here, and people just downplay them. Oh, autism. It's like, well, you can get nerve deafness. You can go deaf from your vaccine. Isn't that something that people freak out about when it comes to getting measles, is going deaf? Oh, yeah, well, you can go deaf from your vaccine, too, but, you know, that's whatever. Yeah, there's a copious amounts of eye problems too: retinitis, optic neuritis, papillitis, retrobulbar neuritis, conjunctivitis, like, and of course, death. It says other death from various and in some cases unknown causes have been reported. They say rarely following vaccination with MMR. However, a causal relationship has not been established in healthy individuals. I think that was bullshit, but whatever. So that's always fun. Like, if you watch things like Vaxxed, a lot of these studies, they'll have a whole bunch of people, but they'll take an amount. And then they'll whittle that, like, they'll have an amount of people, and there will be a significant, hold on. Okay, I'm just going to read the definition for you guys here. So, statistical significance. We're just going to pop over to Wiki here, because that's what's available. In statistical hypothesis testing, a result that has statistical significance when it is very unlikely to have occurred given the null hypothesis. So null is like nothing at all. Statistical significance means that there's some sort of link. More precisely, a study defines significance level alpha is the probability of the study rejecting the null hypothesis given that it were true, and the p-value of a result, p, is the probability of obtaining the result at least as extreme given the null hypothesis were true. The result is statistically significant by standards of the study when p is lesser than alpha. The significance level for a study is chosen before data collection, typically set at 5% or much lower depending on the field of study. In any experiment or observation that involves drawing a sample from a population, there is always a probability that observed effect would have occurred due to sampling error alone. But the p-value of an observed effect is less than the significant level, and an investigator may conclude that the effect reflects the characteristics of the whole population, thereby rejecting the null hypothesis. This technique for testing the statistical significance for results was developed in the early 20th century. The term significance does not imply importance here. The term statistical significance is not the same as research, theoretical, or practical significance. For example, the term clinical significance refers to the practical importance of a treatment effect. So there's a lot of information on YouTube. So if you're interested in learning how statistics work, and how hypothesis work, null hypothesis, anything like that, you can pick up a statistics book from a university. I used to have, well, I still have mine. I was thinking about going over the chapters and reading or, like, teaching you guys something about statistics. So you know what's going on there. So, yeah, what they do, like, when you watched Vaxxed, what they did is they took a population, and what they did was they whittled down the numbers so that what was statistically significant is now lesser than that 5%, so therefore it's no significant. And therefore it can be concluded that there's no relationship. So, I mean, they do sketchy shit like that. when there was one, and then suddenly there is none, simply by whittling down the numbers. Because, like, when you have bigger numbers in statistics, the bigger the numbers, the better the results, because the more representative it is of the whole population. That's why when you do a study, they want you to at least have more than 100 or more. Below that, it gets a little iffy, because those numbers, you know, one simple person could make that, it could be the drawing line between it being significant or not. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back, and we will be chatting some more. Back in 5.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home, MyZestiness.com.
Hello everyone, I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty's Gardens.com. Now this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Do you want to live a happy and healthy barefoot lifestyle? Join Barefoot is Legal Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to learn your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws against bare feet in public, and we are here to dispel the myths and empower you to stand up for your rights. Join full-time barefooter and victims legal advocate Nick Pierce on Freedomizer Radio or the Barefoot is Legal radio show Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific, and check out barefootislegal.org. You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready here on Freedomizer Radio, and be prepared.
Hello, everybody. We're back. This is Sam, host of Against the Grain. We're talking about things like vaccines and this bomb-ass hearing that happened last night. Jokes. It wasn't that bomb. I was just looking over the one from Washington State that just passed, moved into third hearing on their website. It's incredible to see that some of the things that were withdrawn, the amendments that were withdrawn, I remember I just found it and I lost it now. There was, in terms of vaccine shedding, it was even proposed that children who had been freshly vaccinated should be kept out of public school or daycares for the duration that was required for the vaccine shedding to stop. So that's like a month. But that was withdrawn. But it's incredibly interesting to see that they even brought that up as an amendment. Some of these amendments are pretty freaking interesting. Like requires, well, here we go. Like on page 4 after line 18, insert the following new section, section 4, to assure the public regarding the safety of these immunization measures in Chapter 28A.210 RCW, the state of Washington shall contract for a vaccinated versus non-vaccinated study to be performed by researchers independent of the pharmaceutical industry. Effect requires Washington to contract for the vaccinated versus a non-vaccinated study to be performed for researchers independent of the pharmaceutical industry. This was brought by Representative Kraft or whatever, and then it said it was withdrawn in the top right corner there. Blow my fucking mind that they actually had wanted something like that in there, and it got withdrawn. So they're basically, as far as I know, picking it down to the bare bones for that thing to pass through. Okay. So, talking about things going forward, what really blew my mind is particularly in, like, I'm a doula, and I love everything birth and babies and moms. What really blew my fucking head open is when this guy started talking. And he started talking about, you know, immunity past being passed down from mom to baby and yada, yada, yada. And he started bringing up things like vaccine safety tests and vaccines that are being administered in pregnancy. And the way he was talking about it was that, like, vaccines are safe to be administered in pregnancy, things like DTaP, or no, Tdap, there we go, and flu, and apparently they're working on a group strep B vaccine, folks. Group strep B. That blew my fucking head wide open. Wide open. Because number one, if you test for blue group strep B, if you swipe just the vagina, it's not that you don't get that high of positives, but if you swipe both the vagina and the anus, you get like a 40% higher positive test because it colonizes in the bowels. Now, group strep B is just like a yeast infection. Everybody has yeast, okay? It lives in like a symbiotic, like, you know, a healthy, balanced state in your body. Now, when you have things like antibiotics or too much sugar, those things start to grow and they start to become a big problem and taking over. And they give you things like thrush. They give you things like fucking, like, you know, obviously to women, things like, you know, yeast infections. Those things are incredibly annoying to deal with. But then it gives you things like, you know, like weight problems and a whole bunch of, a plethora of other issues. What the hell was, trying to think of the documentary. There was a documentary on TV I watched the one time, The Nature of Things, I believe it was, and they were talking about parasites and how parasites can take over your body. And, like, you know, they were talking about, like parasites and ants, like those brain-eating little spores, those mold spores. What they do is it hacks the ant's body, and then it, like, makes them, like, climb to, like, the top of leaves and makes them act really weird. And then eventually it makes the ant bite onto a leaf and it can't let go. So it basically hijacks the ant's brain and then puts it in a position where it can continue to flourish by, like, going over where the ant trail is. It can, you know, break out of the ant's brain. It's like this little tree trunk and, like, spread its spores below and, like, find new ants. Like, it's, like, it's incredible what parasites can do. It's like a mind control, literally. And, like, he was talking, like, you know, things like candida, like, when it overrides your body so much so, it makes you crave more sugar. It makes you crave more of that junk food that's going to make you, it's going to feed it. So it's like, it's not even you wanting it. It's the candida taking over your brain and your body to say that, like, hey, we need more sugar because, you know, this is what we need to keep going. And then, you know, things like sugar have been shown in the brain to light up the same areas in the brain as things like cocaine, that pleasure area, you know, that addictive pleasure area. Like, it's addictive stuff. It's addictive stuff. So you have this bacteria, or, you know, this culture, these itty-bitty little things inside of you that's normally just chill with you, taking over you. You know, crazy, crazy stuff. But anyway, going off on that tangent, that's group strep B is essentially the same thing. As long as you can keep it, if you have it, you have it. But if you keep it under control, then it'll run its course. It might flare up and then slow back down. If you want to pop over, I believe it's Marin Green taking back. Is it taking back birth? Marin Green has Indie Birth. There we go. Indie Birth has a podcast on this, and it's extremely informational. It's all scientific-based. She uses as much scientific letter or literature as she can. Evidence-based birth is another good one. Indie Birth and evidence-based birth, they try to take evidence to support their claims. But these people are working on a vaccine for that. And these vaccines aren't even tested in pregnancy to begin with. I saw an article. Where was it? I'm going to try and find it again now here. There we go. From Organic Lifestyle. FDA admits that flu vaccines for pregnant women are untested and unlicensed for that use. So if you actually look, and even in Tdap, the same thing. It's any vaccine out there, it's never actually been tested in pregnant women. We'll open up the PDF here because they have the sources available. Nope, that's not the one I'm looking for. There we go. Is that the one we're looking for? Boostrix? No, I don't want that one. Give me a sec here. I'm just going to go see if I can find measles, mumps, rubella, influenza vaccine safety. We're just going to pop over to the CDC really quick. Available flu vaccines, approved flu vaccines. Open that up. We're on the CDC website right now. Where are the inserts? Why can I not find the inserts? Okay, we'll go back. Common concerns. Diphtheria, tetanus, persistence, vaccine safety. Given to children. Okay, there's a whole list here. We'll go with Decovac. Pop that open. Oh, server request failed. Look at that. I can't even look at that one. Tenevac. There we go. I'm looking at, this was from the CDC website. This is a vaccine insert for Tdap. Scrolling down. Oh, Guillain-Barré syndrome, that's one right there. You can get Guillain-Barré syndrome from the Tdap. Keep going down. Number 8, use in specific populations. Pregnancy category C. This is 8.1 pregnancy from the CDC website itself. Animal reproduction studies have not been conducted with Tenavac vaccine. It is also not known whether Tenavac vaccine can cause fetal harm when administered to pregnant women or can affect reproduction capacity. Tenavac vaccine should be given to a pregnant woman only if clearly needed. They also have never done any fertility studies. They haven't done anything in nursing mothers. It even says here, it is not known, this is 8.3, nursing mothers, it is not known whether Tenavac vaccine is excreted in human milk. Because many drugs are excreted in human milk, caution should be exercised when Tenavac vaccine is administered to a nursing woman. Interesting stuff, isn't it? Absolutely interesting stuff. So how can these people go ahead and say that these things are safe for vaccines, or like safe for pregnant moms? This article is from the Organic Lifestyle, and they have links to stuff. Manufacturers warn against vaccinating pregnant women. There is insufficient data on Fluvial quadrivalent in pregnant women to inform. This is from the package insert, Fluvial quadrivalent. There are no controlled data in human pregnancy. Diphtheria persistens, acellular tetanus is only recommended for use during pregnancy when benefit outweighs the risk. From the Tdap vaccine information, and we just went over to vaccine insert. I pulled it from the CDC website. So Robert F. Kennedy and, scroll back up. There we go. Robert F. Kennedy and Informed Consent Action Network, they filed a lawsuit was filed by Children's Health Defense Attorney Robert Kennedy Jr. on behalf of Informed Consent Action Network to obtain clinical trial data used by FDA to approve influenza vaccine for pregnant women. The FDA's response, we have no records responsive to your request. See, and this is the fucking scary thing. This is the scary thing, is when this guy is going off in this hearing and saying that they're doing testing in pregnant women, they cannot ethically even test in pregnant women. They can't do it. If they apply to get the test done, they won't give it to them because it's unethical to test in pregnant women. So how can this guy bold-facedly lie that they're testing these vaccines with pregnant women? And it was brought to court, and these people don't even have the information that we're asking for. Like, this is a giant fucking experiment, and people are being mandated in this. They're slowly being forced into this. I'm pretty sure most people have heard about World War II. I'm, like, 99% sure, unless you've lived in, like, TV La La Land the last 10 years, and you know, your parents are kind of neglectful and they don't actually teach you anything, because the school sure as hell doesn't. I saw an article, like, down in Florida, apparently they're only doing, like, 39% passing rates now. I mean, I don't know how much truth that holds, because I didn't, like, search it much, but if that is true, and it's only 39%, you can tell that our system is not for grades anymore. It's just for making people stupid so they can push pens. Anyway, once upon a time when World War II happened, there came to pass these things called the Nuremberg Trials. And from 45 to 49, hold on, let me look. I'm just over on Wiki right now. I know Wiki is not an entirely reliable resource, but you know what? For things like this, it's not too bad. Yeah, from 45 to 40, 48 or 49, they held a bunch of trials, and put a bunch of Nazis to death who had committed crimes against humanity and were, you know, like, they tried to put up the defense that I was just doing my job, and that wasn't good enough. That was not good enough. You can't just be doing your job, committing crimes against humanity, causing mass, you know, death and destruction, and get away with that. It doesn't work. So from that, they created the Nuremberg Code, because if you haven't done any research on that, they were doing some pretty sick shit to people who weren't given the choice. Like, they were, like, sewing limbs on the kids, and it was just messed up, guys. It was just messed up. So if you ever go down that research hole, make sure you get a coffee and you do, like, a solid, like, good prayer before you go head down that road, because it is just gross what they were doing to people when it came to medical experiments. Now, the Nuremberg Code, I pulled this up. This is a PDF from history.nah.gov, so it's government website. Pulled this up here. Nuremberg Code, there are 10 points to it. Number one, the voluntary consent of human subject is absolutely essential. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved as to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision. This latter element requires that before the acceptance of an affirmative decision by the experimental subject, there should be made known to him the nature, duration, and purpose of the experiment, the method and means by which it is to be conducted, and all inconveniences and hazards reasonably to be expected, and the effect upon his health or person which may possibly come from his participation in the experiment. So that doesn't include a little piece of paper with three side effects as regulated by law. That is the ins and outs. You are going to sit down with them and talk about the complete ins and outs. The duty and responsibility for ascertaining the quality of the consent rests upon each individual who initiates, directs, or engages in the experiment. It is a personal duty and responsibility which may not be delegated to another with impunity. Okay? So fucking sift over those words. These are things where our informed consent came from. As far as my research has taken me, this is where informed consent and stuff came from when it came to medical experiments. Okay? Number two, the experiment should be as to yield fruitful results for the good of society, unprocurable by other methods or means of study, and not random and unnecessary in nature. Number three, the experiment should be so designed and based on the results of animal experimentation and a knowledge of the natural history of the disease or other problem under study that the anticipated results will justify the performance of the experiment. So I know there's going to be a lot of animal rights activists out there that hate that, but that's why we do experiments on animals first. That's why. I don't like it. I know there's obviously hundreds of thousands of people out there that don't like it, but this is where it's coming from. Okay? Number four, the experiment should be so conducted as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. So in other words, when they do experiments and 36 kids die in the fucking experiment with their new 6-in-1 vaccine, they just broke the Nuremberg Code. Number five, no experiment should be conducted where there is an a priori reason to believe that death or disabling injury will occur, except perhaps in those experiments where the experimental physicians also serve as subjects. So in other words, if somebody's going to be dying from this, which they shouldn't be, because a study should not be conducted where people are going to die, the people conducting these tests should also be shooting themselves up as well. Okay? If you can't make others do it without you doing it, you shouldn't be doing it. It's that simple. Number six, the degree of risk which can be taken should never exceed that determined by the humanitarian importance of the problem to be solved by the experiment. How many people die from fucking vaccine reactions every year? How many people are injured from vaccine reactions every year? And Dill Bigtree and those folks just went and took these people to court, and they're saying, like, less than 1% are being recorded. And that's how many? We could be having millions of people per year getting vaccine injured all over the globe. And in the United States alone, less than 1% is being recorded. Continuing, number seven. Proper preparation should be made and adequate facilities provided to protect the experimental subject against even remote possibilities of injury, disability, or death. Number eight, the experiment should be conducted only by scientifically qualified persons. The highest degree of skill and care should be required through all stages of the experiment of those who conduct the or engage in the experiment. Number nine, during the course of the experiment, the human subject should be at liberty to bring the experiment to an end if he has reached the physical or mental state where continuation of the experiment seemed to him to be impossible. And we're not even talking about kids, folks. We're talking about adults. Adults should know the inside and out of everything that could happen or will possibly happen, and at any point in time, they can remove themselves from that study. New 6-in-1 vaccine killed 36 kids. 36. General number 10, during the course of the experiment, the scientist in charge must be prepared to terminate the experiment at any stage if he has probable cause to believe in the exercise of the good faith, superior skill, and careful judgment required of him that a continuation of the experiment will likely to result in injury, disability, or death to the experimental subject. So in other words, if it's going to get bad, you stop it. If things are going wrong, you stop the experiment. When it came to a while ago, they had men doing birth control, and they were supposed to be taking these birth controls, and they stopped the experiment because men were experiencing too bad of side effects from birth control. So they had to stop the experiment, which they were within their right to do according to the code. This is where it came from. And all these women were laughing and were like, what in the flying hell? We go through this shit daily and you guys pussy out? And it's like, well, maybe women should start taking a stand and stop being used as experiments because it's good for society. I'm sorry, but if it's going to give me a stroke because somebody can't wrap a condom up, not doing it. Sorry. So that's fun for you, and you can pop over. It's on government website. It's available all over the internet to check out. That's where it came from. And they had American judges sitting on those trials. Where is it? There's a list here. Judges. These were allied judges. Here we go. Francis Biddle, American Maine. John J. Parker, American Alternative. And the rest of this were France, Soviet Union, United States. Oh, yeah, there we go. Chief Prosecutor, Associate Justice Robert H. Jackson, United States. They had people putting Nazis to death for pulling this kind of shit or allowing people to pull this kind of shit on people. And now they're doing the same thing. If you're listening right now and you have never heard of Operation Paperclip, I would strongly suggest you check it out. You can find it on government websites. Check out Operation Paperclip. That is some just unreal stuff. basically, in a nutshell, they brought a bunch of scientists over from Germany to work in America because these people were a little too useful to just kill them as well. They didn't want to hang them. They gave them jobs in America. So that's a fun history fact for you. And no, that is not a conspiracy. That is not a conspiracy. If you actually look, it's on government websites. I posted a link for a friend the other day because they thought it was a joke. And I was like, no, man, it's on a government website. It was classified information that has been declassified. That is a real thing. And those are the people that are conducting experiments and doing that kind of shit in America. So, fun fact for you. All right, we're going to take another 5-minute break, and we will be right back.
Come join us as we peel away the layers of the unseen, unknown, and uncharted. And we hope you tune in late night, 9 p.m. Pacific time, to get ready to find a Clarity After Dark.
Greetings and salutations, Freedomizer listeners! This is Maximilian von Riegelbeezer inviting you and yours to listen to me and mine! Join me, my sisters Abby and Fritzy, and my weekly guests, my father Jim and Mumsy Melanie, for Counterculture Wise!
Max, it's not your show!
And we're not your guests, Max. We're the hosts. You may want to rein it in a little bit, buddy. Very well. Tune in for Counterculture Wise every Sunday night at 6 p.m. on freedomizerradio.com. If you ask me, though, it should be called Counterculture Max.
Counterculture Wise.
Radio with heart in mind.
Join me, Chris Levels, the host of Politics and Prophecy on freedomizerradio.com. The show that seeks to educate instead of indoctrinate. Enlighten those that seek knowledge and truth while exposing lawlessness and wickedness within our society. Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the time you can join me and my guest on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Reverse. I like the way you grow it, no pesticides. I got to box it up. Yeah. I like the way you grow it, so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow it, with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it, no diggity, no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze? Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good.
I wanna grow it. I wanna taste it.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden, peacefulbelly.com. Support your local organic farmers.
What's cracking, guys? It's Sam, host of Against the Grain. We were talking about vaccines today, and we're kind of going over a little bit just kind of information in general, particularly regarding things like measles, yada, yada. I'm referencing some stuff from this U.S. Senate Committee on Health and Education, Labor and Pensions. We went over things like vaccine injuries, particularly to the MMR, and just how they downplay that shit. They cite, you know, like Wakefield and autism when there's so much more to that. And then going over one of the other fellas, he was bringing up and really hinting at vaccines in pregnant women. And we're talking about, you know, unethical experiments being conducted under the guise of recommended safety. So now the biggest thing that I wanted to talk about in particular is this fucking Ethan Lindenberger. If you look at all any of the news stories that came out from this, he was like the poster boy of what was discussed. There was him, a little bit of what this first doctor said, and then there was that, I can't remember his damn name. Basically, he brought up not being comfortable with sacrificing liability or safety. Or no, sorry, liberty, there we go, not sacrificing liberty over a false guise of safety, and, like, he took a lot of heat. But really made me mad is this Ethan. If you look at any news story that came out of yesterday, there's at least a paragraph, like, half the article is on him. Basically, he's this 18-year-old kid that went behind his mom's back and he got his vaccines because he was so worried and, you know, because he put the public in danger. And he, you know, he wanted to do his due diligence and be a, I can't even find the words. I'm just, like, choking up here. I'm so upset over this crap. But anyway, he came and, you know, he presented his information or his side of the view. Basically, he grew up in, like, a home that didn't vaccinate. And he goes off to say that, you know, when there comes to debates, because he started a debate club, so he knows how to debate things. When it comes to vaccine debates, there's only one side. There's only one side, and that's only the anti-vax side. And he goes on to say that his mom got this information from the internet. And it's even been said, like, in other interviews that she got it from Facebook and all this other stuff. I mean, this kid is 18 years old, and I think Facebook was started in, like, what, 2004? Like, he was a toddler when Facebook started or something. The numbers don't add up. But he kept going on, just slamming these people who would use social media to get their information, slamming these people because they just share misinformation. So it's like when you pop over to things like vaccination re-education discussion forum, and I just went to their file section. When I recommend this group to people, I tell them, like, if you don't want to deal with the anti-vax crazies, because, you know, there are people out there who are very extreme, because that's the way things go. I mean, you have very extreme pro-vaxxers, you have very extreme anti-vaxxers, and we all come from a place of experience and knowledge and, like, whatever. So I would recommend if you are on the fence and you join that group, don't even pay attention to, like, the threads. Go to the file section, because I just popped open the file section, and there are copious amounts of studies in there. This isn't just people, you know, shit-flinging monkeys, one-upping each other and circle-jerking on how vaccines are bad. Like, there's a lot of people in here who actually study these things. If you go in, I just pulled up one here, Journal of Translational Science research article. The number is there, preterm birth vaccination, neurodevelopmental disorders, a cross-sectional study of 6 to 12-year-old vaccinated and unvaccinated children. I mean, this is a legit study. This is a legit study. I haven't had a chance to actually go through it, but I was just looking, and it's just like, okay, you know, if we're supposed to be so uneducated and so stupid, why do Facebook groups have things like studies in the files section able to easily access? That's one problem that I've always had when I've gone to university and stuff, is they only make certain literature accessible to certain people. And I actually saw a post on Facebook from, there was a doctor or a scientist or something. They said, like, in order to use, like, those databases, you have to pay for, you have to pay for a spot. Because, I mean, that's what they do, right? If you're going to be doing the work to get all this stuff together, you got to pay to use it. But if you actually email the scientists themselves, they have their stuff. And they'll give it to you for free or cheap because they have it available. If you want to read it, just fucking email them. They'll give it to you. Like, here's another thing. Oh, that's from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. But, yeah, you can pop that up. BoosterX PDF. I'm just going down the file section here, and there's a whole bunch of stuff, everything from just kind of detox stuff to federal court cases. Like a Lassiter versus U.S. federal court. There's a court case in there, a PDF that's free and accessible for people to use. Here we go. What's this? A brief history of human diploid cells from ResearchGate. More scientific stuff from a book or a study or whatever this is. I mean, it's all sourced scientific information there. That's legit. It's all sourced. You can go down even further. Tylenol PDF, like the Tylenol insert. Like, this isn't just bullshit conversations that people are just having to hate on anything. There's a lot of stuff actually in here that is credible information. And you will find this on a lot of these blogs or on a lot of these Facebook groups, or if you go to, if you just type in vaccine, you get things like National Vaccination Information Center, Vaccine Choice Canada. You know, those are credible Facebook pages because they source things. They actually do research. They actually do their research. I was just talking to Vaccine Choice Canada the other day about stuff. I was getting some articles and stuff from them. Accessible. I mean, they sent it to me. I asked and I got it. And everything that they have is sourced as well. We were talking about adverse events. We were talking about reporting. We were talking about a whole bunch of fun stuff. The reality of vaccine injury, a much-needed lesson for Carly Weeks. That's an article they have here available. And, like, you even look through, and, like, there's things that are sourced. There's things that are, you know, like, it's, like, one of the sources. Here we go. Manitoba Law Firm. That's one of their sources in this article. Manitoba Law Firm. Like, you're going to tell me that's crap? Sorry, but, I mean, that looks pretty legit to me, and that's the kind of information that these people use in order to be able to, you know, argue their sides of things. You can look on Can Lee. I mean, I surf Can Lee for stuff all the time. All the time for stuff. I mean, I just found an article the other day. Fun fact for you, if you live in Canada and your employer wants you to vaccinate. There was a fella here. In a nutshell, his employer wanted him to vaccinate. He didn't want to vaccinate for Hep A, went and got a doctor's note and provided his reasons. They wanted something bona fide, you know, because he was citing things like, you know, like injury and that kind of, like, he didn't want to because he didn't want to, you know. And they're like, well, we want something legit. So if he would have just gone to the CDC and gone to the Hep A, or, like, you know, and, like, gotten the vaccine insert from his doctor and cited some stuff out of there, like, it would have been used. But because he didn't do that, they actually dismissed his claim because he was claiming discrimination. But you need something solid. You need something legit. This man's claim was dismissed because he didn't have something bona fide. It was just a letter that didn't have any sort of scientific backing claim. My dad made me some milk and rum. This is amazing. No, I'm not drinking on the show. I don't drink very often, but this is really good. So yeah, like, you just pop over to canlee.org and type in mandatory vaccination. I think it was the first one that popped up there. There was also some other fun stuff that popped up that I want to give a read. Where is it here? I just had it up. There's something that I wanted to give a read here. It's called Could Parents Be Held Liable for Not Immunizing Their Children? And when the little bit of scrolling through on this, I thought it was interesting because, you know, when we hear about vaccines, they're foolproof, they're amazing, they're going to fix all our problems. Even this article admits it. And, like, this is scientifically sourced. You can find it, Canlii, for free, canlii.org. Chin to the button, and it made it weird. And I did it again because I'm trying to do two-hand typing. But, yeah, you can check that out. And it's free. It's available. Anybody can read it. You don't have to be in Canada to read it. And, yeah, it's talking about how vaccines are not foolproof. It talks about things like I have to finish reading it yet, so I can't quote everything that I saw here, but that, you know, like, vaccines can fail, that you can be vaccinated and not actually be immune to it, or that you can still catch stuff even though you're vaccinated. This is available and free and credible for anything like that. A friend of mine shared this Mercola article. Herd immunity is a hoax. And you go through and it's talking about, like, herd immunity and vaccination, how, like, what we say is, you know, if everybody gets vaccinated, then it's all good. And then if you actually look at, like, the little blue highlights or, like, the little numbers, like, these are all sourced. You can click on them and they'll take you to, like, the scientific articles and stuff. Herd immunity does not work for vaccinations, and it has studies or clinical microbiology review in 1995. Researchers stated measles was targeted for elimination in the United States in 1979, persisted at low incidence until 1989 when an epidemic swept the country. Cases occurred among appropriately vaccinated school-age populations and among unimmunized inner-city preschool children. In response to the epidemic, measles immunization recommendations have been modified to prevent spread among school-age populations. A second dose of MMR vaccine is recommended at 5 to 6 or 11 to 12 years. So once upon a time, they made it, and there was only one vaccine that was needed, and then found out that that wasn't enough, so then they did two, and now they do three. I mean, it's just a repeated thing. And again, you click on these numbers, or on these, you know, these blue highlighted words, and it takes you to information. It takes you everywhere. See, like, seen with influenza vaccination. What's this? Where does this go? That goes to another article's for Mercola. Here we go. But then it has, like, information cited from, like, CDC and stuff. So, here we go. Yeah, and if you go all the way to the bottom, if you go all the way to the bottom, it says sources and references, and there is everything from the Journal of Infectious Diseases, 2008, Scientific Magazine, April 11th, 2014, Virology Journal, 2010. Oh, God, there's so many. Everything. CDC.gov Vaccine Information Statement, MMR. And you click on that, and where does that go? Oh, look at that, a PDF from CDC. And that's credible, guys. That is credible. That's credible. So I don't exactly know what this guy is talking about when it comes to, well, that's the thing is I do know, and what he is citing is quite a concern. To be honest, I've seen it, and it's kind of frustrating. That a lot of people out there, they just pay their beliefs lip service and they don't actually do research. And it's not that that's a bad thing. But in order to actually be able to have a solid stance, people have to do their own research. They have to. If you actually want to be seen as credible and you want to be seen as knowledgeable, you actually have to do a little of your own research. So that means turning off your Netflix, watching some videos, following up on the resources. Anytime you read anything, follow up on the resources. If it's a good article, there will be sources cited. Always go check those out if you have access to them. Obviously, that's a big fucking frustration when you have to pay to get access. But again, just email. If you find it, just email the guy and maybe they'll give it to you. So that's incredibly frustrating because there was an article here I pulled up. It was a news article. Let's see if I can find it here. Washington House passes bill. I think it might be on my Facebook here. Let's go to my Facebook quick. Bear with me, guys. Really quick. Where is it? Keep scrolling. Just keep scrolling. Just keep scrolling. Scrolling, scrolling. Jeez, I post a lot, hey? No wonder people fucking unfriend or unfollow me all the time. It's all information. That's good. There we go. Vaccine deniers gaining ground. This was a BBC News article. That was posted March 1st, 2019. Stephen Sivens was... hold on here. Scroll up. I scrolled down a little too far. Simon Stevens said parents were seeing fake messages online about vaccines, which is making it harder to win the public argument on vaccination. Paraphrase, parents are actually educating them fucking selves so that they can't be told what to do like the Catholic Church did to their followers once upon a time. People couldn't read the Bible once upon a time, so they just took the priest's word for it. And look at how well that happened. It's the same shit over and over again. They think you're not smart enough. They think you're too stupid to be able to access this information and be able to comprehend it for yourself. But now that people are, they're fucking scared. They're scared because people are fighting back because they're actually learning this. These people who are not going to university because they put university on a gold pedestal. And I mean, I went there for, 4 years? And it really wasn't all that. Looking back now, it really was not all that chalked up to be. I mean, when I was there, I felt smart. I had access. I was hanging out with all these smart people. But the ego is incredible. The ego is incredible. It's like even I had that at one point where you just look at people and you're like, oh, I went to school. I know way more than you. You know, like I know how to critically think. I know how to do all this stuff because I can read a book. It's like, good for you, buddy. You know, like it just. And I mean, I was a little egotistical, but like the people who are in the sciences, they were like tending to be gods. And you don't really know that much until you realize you don't know that much. And then you can learn more. But going down. Yeah, they're citing like, you know, 2 to 3 million lives are being saved each year with vaccinations, going on about measles, because MMR is all the rage right now because 13 kids or 40 kids got measles. Even which, you know, scientific literature is admitting that it might not even work. I'm not even going to go over this. Yeah, misleading and dangerous information. Misleading and dangerous information. If you... experts called for more to be done to challenge untruths about possible side effects of vaccines and said that social media giants should clamp down on fake news. Should clamp down on fake news. And right now we are having a massive problem with censorship when it comes to access of literature. We are having a huge problem when it comes to being able to even sell our own products. First, Google. All these search engines started censoring things by making their algorithms with certain material hard to find. Use DuckDuckGo.com. I strongly suggest that. If you type in the same thing with Google that you do DuckDuckGo, you will get opposite fucking results. I remember when I was looking for Kavanaugh stuff. I was looking for, what's her name? I can't even remember. That lady who accused Kavanaugh. She ended up... saying that she wasn't going to go after him and she was dropping everything after all was said and done. She said she was going to drop it. You couldn't find the article on Google. I searched pages and pages and pages, and I couldn't. I just did a simple Google search, and I could not find it at all. It was only the midst of the height of the hype articles that I could find. I headed over to DuckDuckGo. It was the first thing. First thing searched. It was right there. So all these search sites are doing that. Then you had things like Pinterest. Pinterest started clamping down. They started removing people's posts that were anti-vaccine because it was against their standards. Then we have YouTube. YouTube started censoring things. They started removing videos. They started pulling paid advertisements, people who were, you know, like talking about educated things with reputable sources. They had their funding or however that advertising stuff pulled. I think it's great because now I don't have to watch a million fucking advertisements in somebody's YouTube video, but whatever. Started doing stuff like that. Then there was, who was next? Facebook. Facebook has started clamping down. They announced that they were going to start clamping down on people and these fake news groups, these fear-mongering groups. Then Amazon and Etsy, same day, Amazon pulled Vaxxed. They pulled a bunch of other anti-vaccine, they claim, documentaries. All their live streaming stuff, they pulled those. Etsy started pulling down people's products, everything from T-shirts to detox bath bombs. Detox bath bombs. So in other words, you get your child vaccinated, whether you're pro-choice or you had to be forced into it from a judge or whatever, you get your child vaccinated, because I know a lot of people like that too. They want to get their kid vaccinated, but then they actually detox their kid and stuff afterward because, you know, there's all that crap that gets stored in there. So they go through and, you know, effectively detox their kids. But they pulled down things like bath bombs because they were anti-vax and they were against their community standards for spreading misinformation and, you know, that kind of crap. It's like, it's a fucking bath bomb. Okay, one of my Facebook friends took a snapshot. And excuse me, because this is going to get a little graphic here, guys. So you might want to fast forward like 30 seconds. But she took a snapshot. And Etsy was allowing people to sell dog genital-shaped sex toys. That's okay to sell those kinds of products. Or T-shirts that say, you know, like vaccines cause adults. Or any very derogatory, some of the T-shirt shots, they were very derogatory towards anti-vaxxers. But those were okay. But a bath bomb or a T-shirt that says anti-vaccine or anything like that, or like has a stat or something, like anything, that was taken down. That's messed up. I'm sorry, but that is a purposeful, like this is getting bad. Like it's getting frustrating. And there was one more. Who the hell? I just thought of it and then I spaced. Oh, Instagram. Instagram started pulling down pictures and profiles and stuff as well. So that's like, what, six now? I don't even know. That's a lot. And like, those are all the giants. Those are all the things everybody uses, and they're getting phased out of absolutely everything. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Somebody sent me an article. I'll see if I can find it here. There was a guy, Wisconsin man charged with breaking measles quarantine to go to the gym. So they don't even know if this guy had measles. March 5th, 2019, at 2:47 p.m., he was criminally charged with breaking a measles quarantine by leaving his home to go to the gym, according to court documents. 57, he was charged on February 22nd with a misdemeanor count of willfully violating and the recommendations of a local health officer or subjecting others to danger of contracting a communicable disease. But if you go to, like, the Science magazine, you pop over there really quick, and it was, like, that Science mag or whatever it is, they had, for the first time, traced measles back to a vaccinated individual. So somebody who started a measles epidemic was vaccinated, and they traced it all the way back to him. Meanwhile, this guy in Wisconsin got charged for, they don't even know, according to the article, as far as I can see, they don't even really know if he had measles. He was just supposed to stay indoors, and he was getting stir-crazy, so he left, and he got charged for it. Like, that's how crazy things are getting. kids and adults who are freshly vaccinated can go spreading this stuff for a whole month, putting immunocompromised individuals into danger, like this guy who is speaking on this board, the CEO of President and CEO Immune Deficiency Foundation, who relies on vaccines so hard to stay alive that they completely disregard things like vaccine shedding when it comes to live vaccines, which could potentially end this guy up in the hospital or dead, which he's so passionate about. But they'll charge a 57-year-old man for going to the gym. Like, it's getting just crazy. Here we go. Although he was supposed to stay home at all times, his immediate family members living within the residence were allowed to enter and leave the residence at any time as they had been vaccinated against the virus, the complaint said. Uh-huh. But yet their own studies show that, you know, it's not necessarily going to protect them. In fact, they may still get it, even though they're vaccinated. And if you go to this Mercola article, there's a bunch of stuff cited that there is, I mean, even, was it that California or that outbreak that happened a few years ago, Disneyland or whatever it is, most of those kids were vaccinated. It even said in the article there was, like, what, 100 and some kids? And, like, three-quarters of them or something were vaccinated? Like, don't quote me on that. Go look the numbers for yourself. But, like, that's how crazy things are going to start getting. And I know it's, like, it's literally turning into Nazi Germany with a different populace of people. And I know there are people out there who are going to hate the word that I just said, that they are going to just completely explode and say it's disrespectful to the people, to the Jews, who were targeted. Well, fun fact for you, it was the majority that were Jews, but there was also people like Polish and the Romanians and all other kinds of groups that were also targeted as well, number one. And number two, I find it highly disrespectful that we would allow such censorship up to and to the point that people are willing to cart other people away onto trains and put them into camps. You see Facebook comments like this all the time, that we're going to put these people into camps, and it's getting there. We're being kicked out of all parts of society, and we're being forced into doing our own thing, and eventually they're going to take that away too. And I find it highly disrespectful that the victims of what happened there are not even in their graves yet, and we're allowing this to happen to another group of people. That is highly we haven't even learned from history. Like, people, not even everybody is dead yet, and we clearly haven't learned our mistakes, that history is repeating itself again so quickly that it's going to allow that to again happen soon. Maybe it's not going to be exactly the same, but it's still happening. All right, guys, we're at the end of our show today. I hope you guys had a very good Wednesday. Proof Negative show is coming up next. I will catch you guys again next week with a guest. I'm hopefully lining one up. And we will see you again. Have a good one. Bye-bye.